So I got up and then I realised that my leg had literally gone dead, and I basically almost stacked it to the floor in front of my colleague, and she's like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's embarrassing. That's the dark side of hyperfocus. Welcome to The Anxious ADHDer, the podcast for brains that don't always play by the rules. I'm Jess, your host, your resident overthinker, and right now I'm pretending I didn't just hyperfocus my way into a dead leg. It's happened. I'm sorry, guys. I need to move my toes. Last week, we talked about the productivity paradox, that charming, charming little cycle where ADHD says, let's do everything right now. And anxiety's like, okay, but it has to be perfect or I'm literally going to die. If you've ever found yourself doing 10 things at once and then wondering why you're so exhausted, yeah, that one hit close to home. So this week, we're going to go under the hood of chaos, that thing that creates those late night bursts, those random surges of energy, those amazingly but slightly concerning deep dives into one task while the rest of your life goes up in flames. Yep, that's hyperfocus. It's the best and also the worst part of the ADHD brain, that magical power that we have where time literally stops existing, creativity flows, your tea goes cold, you need to pee so badly, but yeah, you just forget it. You forget. It's brilliant until you realize you've lost circulation in your leg, your to-do list is still untouched, and you've achieved both greatness and also mild injury. We're talking about what hyperfocus really is, how anxiety pushes it into overdrive, and how to ride that wave without constantly wiping yourself out. Okay, so for the fellow hyperfocuses, focus people out there, it feels amazing, right? It's like the moment that your brain finally hits go after days of just buffering and, you know, just write an email, you take it to the next level. You don't just tidy a desk, you reorganize your life and contemplate a TED Talk about it. So my record, sitting down to just tweak something for the podcast and resurfacing 6 hours later with redesigned artwork and no sensation in my legs. 10 out of 10 would not recommend medically, but emotionally, exhilarating. When does anxiety get involved? So here's where it turns. Anxiety sees the burst and goes, perfect, let's live here forever. And suddenly it's not creative anymore. It's about control. Every minute becomes a test of worth. So you're not working with your brain, you're providing something to it. And when that dopamine finally runs out, anxiety says, why can't you just be this productive all the time? Mate, because I enjoy having blood flow in my limbs. Got a few good hyperfocus stories. Sometimes when I'm working and it's like, how have you achieved that much? And I'm like, well, yeah, because I hyperfocused. I didn't move. It was definitely not healthy. It went dark pretty quickly and I didn't realize it. But yeah, I got all this work done and it was great. It was fantastic. Got up to make myself a brew because, like, finally I realized that, hey, she's got to move. And it's a lot harder to keep your hyperfocus on when you're around people, right? So I got up and then I realized that my leg had literally gone dead and I basically almost stacked it to the floor in front of my colleague. And she's like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, oh. Yeah, it's embarrassing. That's the dark side of hyperfocus. But then you overdo it, don't you? There's one point where you've got the day off and you're saying, hey, okay, I'm just going to hyperfocus on this little creative project. And then you go overboard. And then at the end, it starts to feel quite unhealthy. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, even the thought of it just kind of makes you not want to go there. The thought of opening Photoshop or Canva or Illustrator or anything that you were like intensely focused on doesn't really strike a whole lot of happy love, does it? And that is what the hyperfocus hangover is. Dopamine's gone, the energy's gone, and literally everything feels wrong. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. What is actually going on in our heads when we hyperfocus? So hyperfocus is when our brains flood with dopamine, finally something stimulating enough to lock in. Everything else, hunger, thirst, the concept of time, literally just disappears. But that high isn't sustainable. So when the chemical tide goes out, the crash feels brutal. And then you add anxiety to the mix, it's freaking chaos. Because anxiety interrupts that crash, not as biology, but as failure. You lost momentum, you messed it up. No, my darling, I literally just ran out of battery. So what helps me? Name it. You got to name it. Just when you're hyperfocused and be like, sick, I'm hyperfocusing right now. It sounds daft, right? But awareness, I find, is half the battle. When you're aware, you're already on your way. Number two, you got to prep. Snacks, water, stretch breaks. Just treat yourself like you're a houseplant. you've basically got on all your supplies, like you're going in a bunker. I'm not going to lie, when I'm in the middle of the hyperfocus session, I'm like, oh, could kind of do with some water. It's just like downstairs is so far away, but you can't really do that with tea. So that's unfortunate. I mean, I do love myself a brew, but I literally only was able to physically make myself a cup of tea twice today. Twice. Number three, just leave breadcrumbs, right? So when you stop, leave a note for future you, for future Jess, for future whoever you are who's listening. And here's where we left off. And I know it's really, really hard to break yourself away from hyperfocus, especially when you're like really like in the zone. It almost feels annoying, especially when someone's like interrupts you and I'm like, don't talk to me, I'm hyperfocusing. Make sure you leave a note. That brings me not so much into my next point, which is soft landing. So end before you're empty, before you've kind of gotten to that stage where you're just like, everything feels wrong. Get a friend to call you or just make sure that you don't reach right at the end. The last one, de-shame the crash, right? De-shame the crash. The slump after isn't laziness, it's recovery, because your little noggin has been like superpowering the hell out of this bit of, I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, be nice to yourself. Give yourself a day off. You're recovering, geez. So hyperfocus, it's not like the bad guy, right? It's the reason you can care so deeply, get so passionate about something, and you really want to put your all into it. You really want to make it perfection. I've encountered people who've been like, yeah, don't hyperfocus. They really only see it as a negative. You shouldn't be told that you need to stop hyperfocusing. But all things come in moderation. But hey, yeah, freaking wouldn't give up hyperfocus or anything. And then you're talking about the communication whiplash. So hyperfocus makes me either the most responsive person in the world or a complete ghost. There's literally no in between. When I'm in the zone, when I'm doing some specific task, I hear my phone just like buzz in the background or email notifications pop up and I just acknowledge them and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just go back to what I'm doing. And it's really hard to switch over. It's really hard to communicate consistently when you're hyperfocusing. That can also lead to you completely going down the rabbit hole and actually doing something that you find fun rather than actually doing something you're meant to do, which is a bit problematic. So like a few months ago, I was hyper-focused, like full tunnel vision, and I didn't realize that I wasn't getting any notifications, right, coming through, Google, Teams, whatever. And I just didn't realize because I was so full in the zone. And then I check and oh my gosh, yeah, a lot of communication being like, hello, where are you? Where are you? Yeah, that was crap. Set off my anxiety as well. You know, when you're anxious, you think, oh no, worst case scenario, the hyper-focus in a way, it helped me to achieve that bit of work, to get that bit of work done and dusted. But then the hyperfocus led to anxiety. Yeah, it was just a bit intense, really. Instead of calmly replying, I wrote like this massive apology novel. Yeah, that was fun. So when it comes to hyperfocus communication, leave receipts on. Honestly, seeing red at 2:07 stops me from spiraling about when I imagined replying. Use a notes app draft. If I'm mid hyperfocus and can't reply, I jot down something that I want to say later. That way, future me has a script, not a guilt trip. Set a message hour. Pick a time when you're not deep in focus just to check messages. Think of it like watering your social plants and be honest with people you trust. Half the pressure disappears when you say, hey, sometimes I disappear into hyperfocus. It's not you, it's me. The trick is to catch the extremes before they catch you. And remember that communication isn't a test you can fail. Hyperfocus isn't the bad guy, right? It's not something that you should completely refrain from. You've got to hone it. You've got to make it work for you. And you know what? It's the enthusiasm. It's the reason that you can care so deeply and create so wildly and occasionally forget to stand up. It's only painful when anxiety turns it into proof of worth. So if you're in mid-hyperfocus now, you're probably not. If you are, make sure you blink and stretch and move your leg. If this episode made you feel even a little bit sick, reminded you to wiggle your toes, drink some water, reply to a message, share it with a fellow chaotic soul. Hydrate, breathe, be happy, and I will see you next time.